Let's get more for you on this with our US correspondent, Simon Marks, who joins me live from Washington. A very good evening, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
What more can you tell us?
Well, talking to the North Koreans and paying them extortion money for a quarter of a century, said Donald Trump on Twitter about the US relationship with Pyongyang this morning, concluding that talking is not working and that the time for talking is over. It was an interesting intervention by the president, coming as it did in the middle of a whole series of tweets on a whole series of different subjects. But it also suggests, once again, that he is considering some kind of military option when it comes to dealing with Kim Jong-un in Pyongyang. We know that he's had two conversations with the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, and of course Theresa May is in Tokyo consulting with Prime Minister Abe at the moment on the issue of North Korea, among other things. This was not quite Donald Trump returning down the road that he wandered down a few days ago, where he was talking about unleashing fire and fury like the world has never seen against North Korea if Kim Jong-un went ahead with his threat to target the American Pacific island of Guam with missiles. Donald Trump seemed to step back from that particular abyss a few days ago, crediting Kim Jong-un with not having gone forward with his plan to target Guam with missiles. But then came that missile that flew over Japanese territory over the weekend, resulting in the Japanese government suggesting to people in Japan that they should be taking cover because they didn't know whether the missile was actually going to strike Japan or not. In the end, it came down in the Sea of Japan, and that has clearly concentrated Donald Trump's mind on this issue. Again, the problem in all of this is that while he says the time for talking is over, senior figures within his own administration do not agree with him. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, after President Trump published that tweet this morning, insisted that the United States will never run out of possible diplomatic solutions in North Korea. And the Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, well, just last week, he was laying down preconditions for talks with the North Koreans. So he clearly at the time thought that the time for talking with North Korea was not over. Just on the facts as well, Chris, it's worth making the point that Donald Trump said that the United States has been talking to North Korea for the last 25 years. In fact, it hasn't been, particularly over the last several years. There have been no talks whatsoever underway with the North Korean government, and that is something that clearly sticks in Kim Jong-un's craw. He is said desperately to want to receive a telephone call from the President of the United States. So on the facts as well, that tweet that the President wrote this morning, somewhat out of kilter with reality.
Yeah, and if the President is saying that talking is not the answer and Theresa May is saying that she's not taking British military intervention off the table, then is now the time to start worrying?
Well, I'm not sure that the time is ever right to stop worrying about the situation in the Korean Peninsula. But let's remember that it wasn't that long ago, within the last 2 weeks, that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was suggesting that he didn't believe that there was a military option immediately available to the United States. He said that the situation in North Korea was so complex, such a tinderbox was the situation there, that America's options were, as he put it, very limited. And there were no plans, as he described them, to launch any kind of military action north of the 38th parallel. In other words, no military action planned targeting North Korea. I mean, I think what we're seeing here is the ongoing revelation of serious tensions between President Trump and some of his top aides. Just take a listen to a couple of bits of audio from the last few days. This was the US Defense Secretary Jim Mattis addressing a group of troops in Afghanistan over the weekend and clearly referencing what some commentators here believed, that he was clearly referencing some of the language and the inflammatory talk that Donald Trump has been using, not just about North Korea, but about other bits of policy. Take a listen to this.
Got problems that we don't have in the military. And you just hold the line, my fine young soldiers, sailors, airmen. Just hold the line until our country gets back to understanding and respecting each other and showing it a being friendly to one another.
Now, you can read that a couple of different ways. You could see it as James Mattis simply reflecting on the enormous divisions that events like the Charlottesville protests by the white supremacist groups and their opponents had revealed in the United States. But you can't really read the comments of Rex Tillerson that I'm about to play for you, the Secretary of State, in two ways. This was Rex Tillerson responding to a question on the Fox News Sunday program over the weekend, in which he was asked whether some of the president's inflammatory language wasn't leading to a crisis of confidence internationally in American values.
I don't believe anyone doubts the American people's values or the commitment of the American government or the government's agencies to advancing those values and defending those values.
And the president's values?
The president speaks for himself, Chris.
And there was a pregnant pause. You could hear it there at the end of that. The president speaks for himself. The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, not able to articulate publicly that the president's values are core American values as he sees them. That appearance is said to have deeply irritated Donald Trump, and the odds are shortening on whether Rex Tillerson will be heading up the State Department for very much longer.
Simon, let's talk about the US floods that are occurring in Texas at the moment. We now know that 20 people have died following on from Storm Harvey. It's moved from Texas to Louisiana now, thousands of people having to be rescued. What's the latest on that? I noticed that Donald Trump just leaving the state of Texas to go and give a speech on tax.
Yes, well, he's unveiling his tax proposals in Missouri tonight. He came back to Washington from Texas last night. He will be returning to Texas this weekend. And according to White House officials, this time round, he intends to meet some of those people that have been displaced as a result of Hurricane Harvey. He didn't do that yesterday. He spent his time there getting briefings from Governor Greg Abbott of Texas and other top emergency officials. Some here have faulted him for not having expressed clearly sympathies towards those people who have lost their lives in the flood, although he did go on Twitter this morning to do precisely that in what I think was perhaps an attempt to correct the record. The situation in Texas is still pretty disastrous. I mean, we're still seeing, even today, fresh rescues being made live on television. In one case, there's been an astonishing rescue involving an elderly man who drove his truck into water that was then deeper than he evidently thought it was going to be. And there's a human chain that is formed to save him and get him out of the cabin of his pickup truck and bring him to safety. The difficulty here now is that people are getting so desperate to go and check on loved ones, see what's happened to their homes, try and return to some sense of life before the flood, that in some cases they're taking calculated risks to drive through areas and roadways that are still under substantial amounts of water. And as we saw in that instance, and we've seen in others, it's very easy for the situation to get out of control and for people to find themselves in difficulties. The other fear now is that as these waters begin to recede, and they will begin to recede over the next few days, it's going to be, I think, alarming, possibly, for the emergency services as they start checking on some of those homes and buildings that they have not previously been able to check on. The police chief in Houston was saying earlier today that there were only 40 calls currently at that moment that the police were receiving for rescue. You know, that's still 40 people out there that had been on the phone to the police saying, "I am in need of rescue." But there are fears as to whether that death toll may rise as the waters recede and as it becomes clearer whether there are people that the authorities were not able to get to and not able to rescue. So I think there's some trepidation in Texas and nationally about what those receding floodwaters might reveal.
Well, indeed. I noticed the U.S. city of Houston now under a nighttime curfew as well as its battles the impact of Hurricane Harvey. Obviously, they want to avoid any sort of looting happening, yeah, which is another side effect of these floods.
And Chris, it's worth making the point, you know, there. I've spent a lot of time in Texas. It's one of my favorite states in the country. It is a big, brash, self-confident, brassy state. Rooted in the history of the Alamo, you know, right there in San Antonio, one of the cities that's been affected by this. I think one of the questions going forward is how much is life going to change in Texas? The governor, Greg Abbott, has been saying that he thinks that this is going to change the way that Texans have to think about themselves and the way in which they live their lives, potentially for a generation. So serious has this flooding been, particularly in Houston, but also in other cities like San Antonio, like Galveston, like Corpus Christi. And I think that there's a body blow here to that spirit of self-confidence among Texans. And it's from a sociological perspective going to be very interesting to see how the state goes about rebuilding, how it goes about re-establishing that traditional sense of confidence, and also what the political impacts of all of this are. I was listening to Vice President Mike Pence being interviewed by a radio host, a friend of mine, in fact, in San Antonio. He is a very conservative radio host. If you listened to the program on a daily basis before the floods arrived, you know, one of these radio hosts who's often railing about the size of government and government is too involved in people's lives and big government is the enemy and you need to get government out of its interference in the lives of daily people. The entire interview with Mike Pence was basically predicated by one central question. What's the government going to do to help us now? And that's a seismic shift in the way in which at least some on the radio in Texas and some listening to the radio in Texas view the role of government in the aftermath of this flood.
And just briefly, finally, Simon, I just wondered whether you had any word on those dams at Houston that they're keeping an eye on, which could cause more flooding.
Well, I know that yesterday, as we, I think, said on the programme yesterday, the spillways were overflowing. They have not been expressing, as far as I've seen here this morning, any tremendous concerns that, you know, there can be any kind of a dam collapse. But they're obviously monitoring everything very, very closely. There is, though, Chris, absolutely stunning video, which after we get off the air, I'll go and put out on my Twitter feed. Stunning video of a highway divide, which, as you know, made of reinforced concrete, massive concrete blocks. And the water just takes this thing away so that the highway divide almost looks like a snake making its way through the water. It almost looks like a gigantic eel swimming in the water. And that gives you a real sense of the power of this storm, that it's able to wash away concrete blocks that weigh tons and tons and tons, because it's a long highway divide. It also gives you a sense of what kind of rebuilding effort's going to be needed when this is all over.
All right, Simon, thank you very much for that update. Simon posting that video on his Twitter account at Simon Marks FSM. We'll retweet it as well on our Twitter account at LBC London News. That's our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks, live from the US. The home-